If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To be honest with you, if you don't know where that is, that's okay. So does the person next to you. They don't know where it is either. And I remember when I first started going to church and I wasn't raised in church. I didn't go to church, you know, that kind of thing. So mom got saved later in life. Then she started dragging me to church, you know. And I remember even after I became a follower of Jesus and trying to grow, you know, and, you know, beginning at ground zero for me was, I mean, literally, the preacher would say, take your Bibles and turn to, when he'd say whatever book, and I'm literally going, I just go to the contents page, you know what I'm saying? But early though, yeah, I would do this because I was too prideful, you know. I was sitting there and I'd like be looking out the corner of my eye, you know, because mom would be like sitting right there. I'd be looking, it's like where she's flipping to, you know, and I'd just start flipping. It's over this way. And I'd see about how far she was in her Bible, and I'd go, okay, I got it. Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's it, man. I know where it is. You know, and then somewhere along the way, I just gave up, and I said, content page, okay, page 1,453, there you go. And so feel free to do that. Hey, if this is your first time here, my name is Jeff, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm the guy that does, like, the teaching stuff, and so at least some of it, and because I'm the best they got. And so, no, yeah, and that ain't saying much, you know, so. But... if this is your first time here, I know we have some first-timers here, but and if you are inviting folks and they're coming, you know, we're very laid back, we're very relaxed, we're just real, we're just authentic, we're not trying to pretend to be something we're not. We're not a perfect church, we're not perfect people, and you will, as you get to know us, you will know that quickly, and we're not expecting you to be perfect, we're just expecting you to be authentic and real and honest, that's all, because we do believe that once you can get to that point and say, man, this is how I am, that's when God can really start working on you. As long as you're pretending to be something you're not, you know, it's kind of hard to break through all that stuff, you know what I'm talking about? And I think real healing begins happening within a church and in your life when the folks begin to say, hey, man, this is who I am, and I know I'm messed up in this area, and I need God to work on me, you know, and I need help in this area. And so as a body of believers, we want to help each other. Now, today we're beginning a series of messages, and it'll go about 4 weeks, and we're going to be taking a look at the concept of partnership, partnering together. And today we're going to look at what it means to be a partner with God, especially when it comes to bringing people to Him. Okay, God's going to do, He's got some stuff going on, and in His divine wisdom, He's invited us to be a part of what He's doing, and we're going to talk about what that is. Next week, from 1 Peter chapter 4, we will be examining what it means to be a partner with Christ, especially when you're having to suffer for following Him. And I mean, from one end of just severe persecution, just to being made fun of, just being different, or just, you know, just where people just kind of find you a little odd, not because you're weird, just because you don't dive into certain things that other folks, well, you just have a different standard, different value. And we're going to talk about what it means to partner with Christ, especially when it becomes difficult. Then we will examine from Philippians chapter 1 what it means to be a partner with one another in ministry and how God uses each other to encourage us and strengthen us in order to work in our life and through our life. And then finally, we're going to wrap it up by looking at Hebrews chapter 3, where we will look at what it means to be a partner in heaven, meaning the Bible talks about how we are actually partners with the believers who have come before us. And we're just continuing God's work together. There have been believers who have done a lot of things in the centuries ahead of us, the generation ahead of us, and even our own parents or grandparents or just those close to us who may have died and gone on to be the Lord. And we are partners with them in heaven, meaning we're carrying on that legacy. Does that make sense? And so we're going to take a look at that. So we're taking a look at this concept of being a partner. Now, here at Genesis, we use the word partnership rather than membership when it comes to joining Genesis. And there are several reasons for that, but one of the reasons is because of the meaning of the word partner or partnership. The word partner refers to one associated with another, especially in an action. Now, let me say that again. The word partner refers to one associated with another, especially in an action. Okay, so The word partner implies you are doing something together. You're doing something together. You are going somewhere together. You are accomplishing something together. There's a task before you, and you're going to join, you're going to partner with somebody and in this mission, in this effort, in this action to make it happen. And so here at Genesis, we are wanting to partner with one another to reach people for Christ, make disciples, help people grow spiritually. That's the task, the mission, the Great Commission. But we're going to see in the Bible where it talks about how we're partnering with God in that, and we're partnering with one another in that. And so to help us kind of understand what it means to be a partner, I thought it'd be good for us to take a look at some key passages of Scripture where the concept of partnership shows up. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, I'm going to read quite a bit, not really a whole lot, but follow with me, and I use the NLT, the New Living Translation, in case you wonder. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God. He's referring back to salvation and also our ministry and in this ministry of reconciliation, which we'll talk about in a moment. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, there we go, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. All right, now there's a lot going on in that passage of Scripture, and I want to highlight some things specifically with the area of the partnership thing. So here we go, some areas that we're partners with God in. First of all, you are partners with God in bringing people to God. This is simple. It's not rocket science here. One of the responsibilities of every believer is to point people to Jesus. Look at verse 18 again. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. He's given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Now watch this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now, one of the ways the Bible describes salvation is with this word reconciliation. And we don't use that word a whole lot in our daily life, but it does, you know, come up every now and then, especially when you're trying to reconcile a bank statement or something of that nature. But let me give you four quick truths about reconciliation. First, reconciliation is being brought back to God. Paul wrote this phrase. He said, "Who brought us back to himself?" Now, here's the deal. We all start out separated from God. That's where we all start out. We all sin. We've all disobeyed God. We've all walked out on God. We've all slammed the door as we left the presence of God. We've packed our bags. We said, God, I'm done with you. At some point in our life, we have done that in some way. Now, some of us have done it very publicly. Some of us have done it very privately. But that sinful nature that we're born with causes us to rebel against God, to sin against him. We have denied God. We walked out on God, and we created this gulf between him and us. We built this wall up. And so God had to go on a rescue mission. And this rescue mission is called reconciliation. He's the one that had to he's the one that created the way to build that bridge across the gulf. He's the one that was able to remove the wall of hostility between us, and he's the one that reached out to us first. The Bible is very clear about God loved you first. He loved you first before you ever loved him. And so he's the one that's wanting you to come back. Now listen to me really carefully. There are some folks who do certain things in their life, and man, the devil jumps on their case. And sometimes it's just you jumping on your case. And these thoughts come to your mind like, man, I've done some bad stuff. I've hurt a lot of people. The things I've done, God does not want me back. There's no way, he would want me back. And we start thinking that way because we've hurt people, and the people we've hurt don't want us back. And we've been rejected over and over again because of things we've said and done, how we've hurt people. And it's like, and we would do that also because when people hurt us, our tendency is, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm done with you. And so we take that emotion and those thoughts and those feelings and we place them on God. And we think God's the same way we are. But we're thinking through the filter of sin. And God is thinking through the filter of holiness and love and mercy and grace, okay? And so here's what I'm trying to say is that no matter who you are or what you've done in your life, God wants you back. I mean, think about that. I mean, there's some people who have hurt you. You don't want to be in the same room with them anymore. I mean, you understand what I'm saying here? But here is God who you have completely offended, completely walked out on, and he says, I want you back. Matter of fact, he wants you back so much, he came up with this whole concept called reconciliation, where he sent his son Jesus Christ down on the cross for our sins to make a way, to build the bridge, remove the wall, to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, into the depths of the sea, and all that kind of stuff. He's so committed, and he wants you back so much, he did that. And then he created a people called the church that he has redeemed and saved and who have received him, and they are his servants, and he saved them and is working on them and transforming them. And he's created this army of people who he's going to use to reach out to you because he wants you back. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of like the guy who just really loves this girl, and the girl is just horrible to him, but she's out doing crazy stuff, and he gets all his friends together and comes up with this crazy scheme of trying to express love to her for the rest of her life to get her to come back. Does that make sense? While she's still rebellious, while she's still doing her crazy junk, but he is so in love with her, so committed to her, he is recruiting everybody he can in order to win her back. That's what reconciliation is. God is wanting to bring you back to himself. Isn't that cool? I mean, man, think about that. That's some serious love going on there. Reconciliation is being brought back to him. Now, secondly, reconciliation is a gift from God. Reconciliation isn't something that you create, that you earn somehow. Okay, if I'm good enough, I'm going to have God be able to, he'll like me better and he'll love me more, and then hopefully he'll take me back if I'm just good enough, you know. No, that's not what's going on here at all. It says right here, right off the gate, Paul says, and all of this is a gift from God. It's just, here it is. It's a gift. I want you back. You don't have to get cleaned up. I'll help you get cleaned up. You know, that old saying, it's like, it's kind of weird. You know, we think of salvation sometimes in a weird way. It's like we think we have to clean our life up in order to get saved. And it's kind of like the guy who said, I mean, who gets cleaned up to go take a bath? Well, that would be, well, honey, what are you doing? Well, I got to go get cleaned up so I can go take a bath. Wait, no, the bath is for the cleaning up. You see, and we don't have to get cleaned up to come to God. No, when we come to him, when we accept him and say, man, here I am, he wants us all dirt and all. He does the cleaning. He's the bath. Why don't get cleaned up to come to God? He's going to take care of that. It's a gift. Number three, reconciliation is only possible through Christ. Paul made it clear when he said, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Now, here's the deal. There is only one way to be reconciled to God. One way. Now, here's where Christians are. We are very narrow-minded when it comes to salvation. There's a lot of other stuff out there going on, but when it comes to having a place in heaven, having a relationship with God, it's only going to be through Christ. There is no other name that we can be saved. You know, you have to, you know, he has to be the Lord of your life. It's only through him. It's not by good works. It's not by getting cleaned up. It's not by going to church. It's not by any of that other stuff that we add to it. It's just through him alone. And that's why Jesus was able to say to the thief on the cross, when he says, man, you know, remember me when you enter your kingdom. That was his way of acknowledging, Jesus, I believe who you say you are. And Jesus said, well, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that was Jesus was saying, hey, you're dying today, and you're going to be with me in paradise, you know. But it's only through Christ. Fourth, under this concept of reconciliation, reconciliation is our message we share with others. Now, here's where the partnership comes in. Paul explained that God has given, this is what he says, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And God gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now, this is amazing to me, is that God, he created this reconciliation. He sent Jesus. He made the way possible. And now he's entrusting his people to share that way. And so you are a messenger. You partner with God in this message of reconciliation, meaning there are people in your life that you have the task and the responsibility of sharing it. Now, that could be your kids. That could be your spouse. That could be a mom or dad. That could be a brother or sister. That could also be people at work, at school, whatever's going on. You have this incredible partnership with God to be a messenger of reconciliation. So for us here at Genesis Church, we want to partner with God that way. We want to get the message out. And you've heard me say it before, about the 70% of unchurched folks in Aldrin County, man, we're after them. That's why God led us to start a new church. It feels a little different, sounds a little different, because we think, you know, we can connect with some of those 70% of unchurched folks. We want to get the message of reconciliation out to them in a personal way, with relationships, but also when they come here, they're in an environment where they can just be themselves, you know, and hear the message. Kind of like Jesus would do, you know, he'd be like going from town to town, you know, and he would just show up. People would, you know, I can't imagine people in the New Testament time, they say, oh, did you hear Jesus down by the river? What? Jesus down by the river? Oh, well, let me go get dressed up. No, they'd say, we're going right now, you know, grab Aunt Susie, we're heading down to the river, you know. And so they go all down to the river, and, you know, they're out there sweating and stuff, and Jesus is doing his thing, and disciples are standing around, you know, and doing their thing. But everybody's just, they're just showed up as they are. They're just normal, you know, down by the river. Well, here, we're down by the Y. Just, you know, we're just meeting down at the Y, you know. We're just, come on, it's just normal, man. Just show up. And if you're a member of the Y, bring your workout clothes and stay out and you can work out. All right, now, number two, we're talking about partnership. We are partners with God in bringing people to him. I mean, we're bringing people to him. We're not bringing people to ourselves. We're bringing people to him. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And we're not even bringing people to Genesis Church. The whole purpose of Genesis Church is to bring people to him. Does that make sense? You know, so I don't want you to get confused, you know, about bringing people to church versus bringing people to him. Now, those do overlap. You can have a personal conversation one-on-one with somebody, introduce them to Jesus, you know, and in some cases, it's convenient to say, hey, why don't you just come to Genesis Church, man, hang out, you know, and they will be introduced to God. But the ultimate goal is not to get people to Genesis Church. The ultimate goal is to bring people back to God. That's what ministry of reconciliation is all about. All right, number two. You are partners with God in representing God to others. Now look at verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Let's focus on this word ambassadors just for a moment. What is an ambassador? Well, number one, ambassadors represent another country. You need to understand this. Ambassadors represent another country. You represent the kingdom of God here on earth. As a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be a Christian, you represent another country called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, here on earth. Man, that's huge. That's heavy. Look at 1 Peter, or listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Listen to this. Peter says this, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. Now, that's important. I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. To keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So in reality, as a believer, you represent another kingdom and you are a temporary resident here. And so Peter is saying, look, with that understanding, you need to realize you are living in foreign territory. This is not your home. You represent, so you have the badge, you know, of Christianity on your shoulder. And as you go to work and as you go to school, you represent that kingdom. Now, sometimes we don't represent it well. Sometimes we do represent it well. And we want to represent it well more often than not. Because, you know, God knows that you're going to say some stuff that you're thinking, boy, that did not sound like a representative. You're not going to say, wow, I'm supposed to be an ambassador of God, and I just didn't do that right. You know, you don't think that, but there are times where you go say, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Man, I should not have thrown that rock at his head. I just shouldn't have done that. I should not have done that. But there are times in your life where you're going to realize, and God's a God of grace, and he's bigger than our sins, and he can handle our mistakes. But as a partner with him, our partnership is that we are to say, okay, I'm going to go to school today, and I'm going to represent the kingdom well, best I can. With God's help, I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to represent his kingdom. In my family day, no matter how messed up your family is, you're going to represent the kingdom of God well in that family. That's the mentality he wants us to have. That's why he's saying, you got to remember, you know, we are Christ's ambassadors. So ambassadors not only represent another country, but ambassadors live in a foreign country. Now, ambassadors don't live in their homeland. Oftentimes, ambassadors have to live in a country with different values, different morals, different standards, different beliefs. So in the same way, as an ambassador of Christ, you live in a world that has different values. It's always going to have a different value. You're living in a world that has different morals. It's always going to have different morals. You live in a world that's going to have different standards, different beliefs. It's always going to have different standards and beliefs. Okay, the world is not ever going to be what you want it to be. Does that make sense? And as you become deeper in your walk with God, you're going to notice how different it is from the land that you now really belong to the home that you're really headed back to. And so as you live, and you're going to have to wrestle with this. Every believer goes through it. You're either going to have to find a way to live in this world but not be of it, or what will happen is you'll either become really like it or you'll just avoid it altogether, okay? You'll just try to keep everybody safe and your family away from the big bad people in the world. But God says, no, I want you to live in the world but not be of it. I want you to be a light in the midst of darkness. And so being an ambassador is realizing, okay, I mean, I know this isn't a wonderful place, what's going on and everything is happening, but you know what? I'm here. This is the generation God had me born in. I'm an ambassador today in this generation, and by his grace and his power, I'm going to represent him well, no matter how sinful things are around me. And then ambassadors speak for another country. And they not only represent another country, they not only live in another country, but they also speak for another country. Again, ambassadors don't create the message, but are given a message to deliver. This is why Paul is saying God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So here's the thing. Whenever you are talking to someone and they're struggling with stuff going on in their life, or even what's going to happen when they die, or just things going on currently, presently in their life, and you are encouraging them to reconnect, to come back to God, to say, hey, you know what, you need, let's talk about giving your life to him as the Lord of your life, someone who's not a believer. Whenever you're doing that, you now are speaking as an ambassador on the behalf of the kingdom of God when you're encouraging anyone to come back to God. I mean, think about that. That's pretty serious stuff. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of cool? Would it mean more to you as a follower of Jesus if somehow God could show up and when you became a believer, there was some kind of special service where you were pronounced as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven and everybody knew you were the ambassador because you had some kind of glowing symbol that came from your forehead? So when you walk into a room, they go, "Ooh, don't mess with him, man. He's an ambassador of the kingdom of God." You mess with him, you're also messing with the kingdom that God is. You're messing with God himself, in a sense, because he represents God. Yeah, that'd be great. But sometimes as ambassadors, we're just not recognized. Our authority is not recognized, in the sense of authority, in the sense of the kingdom of God, and sometimes people might think you're weird, may think you're crazy, but however, you just present the gospel before them. You present that reconciliation, that message of reconciliation. You encourage people to come back to God and let God and his Holy Spirit just take care of all the rest, okay? Just remember, you are an ambassador. Now, number three aspect of this partnership. You are partners with God in protecting the gospel. Now, watch this. This is amazing how God just gives us. Man, to me, I mean, I know God is ultimately wise, and he knows the past and the future, and I mean, he knows everything. There's nothing, he doesn't learn anything new. But it's amazing to me that he trusted people like you and me with this incredible message that's within his word, and especially the message of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's entrusted it to people like us to get it out there. God doesn't write it on the sky, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, he just entrusts people to do this. So look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. So part of our partnership, part of your partnership with God, is protecting the gospel with your lifestyle. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, look, we have partnered with God in this reconciliation thing. He's given us this task, this mission, this message to share with others. Now we have got to make sure that we back up the message that this partnership involves with our life. It's not just lip service. Because look carefully at this. Let me just highlight some things for you. Number one, protecting the gospel prevents people from stumbling. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to live holy. I want you to live righteously. I want you to do what's right. Okay, I want you to live in a certain way. So Paul says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. So here's what he's saying. He says, I'm so committed to partnering with God in this reconciliation and being an ambassador for him that I've dedicated myself to live in such a way as not to cause people to sin. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I realize I'm an ambassador. I realize I've got this message I need to share with others as they come to my life, but I need to back it up with a lifestyle that proves that God is genuine and real. My life, he needs to transform me. He needs to work in me. And part of this partnership is that God's going to do his part, but also as he works on me, I need to back up what I'm saying. Doesn't mean you need to be perfect, because Paul wasn't perfect. But you need to live in such a way as that your life doesn't encourage others to sin, that it doesn't cause others to stumble, to doubt God's reality and his truth. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, number two, protecting the gospel prevents people from finding fault. Paul says it this way. He says, we live in such a way that no one will find fault with our ministry. Now, here's the thing. What he means is, they may say crazy things about you and say, oh, yeah, well, he or she did this and that and blah, blah, blah. And you're standing there hearing that, and you may go, that's not true at all. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. We didn't say that. We didn't do that. What Paul is saying is, we live in such a way that no one will find fault. Not that they'll say there's fault. Because there's a lot of, the devil, he's going to accuse people all the time. He's really going to try to accuse believers. All kinds of crazy stuff. But when in reality, you have a clear conscience because, you know what? I didn't say that. I didn't do that. I didn't go there. That did not happen. You understand what I'm saying here. So that's he's saying, look, you live in such a way that you're able to walk with a clear conscience, that people cannot find fault with you. Number three, protecting the gospel requires dedication. Paul says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. Now, circle that little phrase in everything we do. For Paul, he wants to dot every I and cross every T when it comes to his character, integrity, and way of life. So he says, in everything we do, in everything that I'm doing, I'm dedicated to partnering with God in this ministry of reconciliation, of being an ambassador and backing it up with my life. That's what he's saying. He said, man, I'm sold out on this thing. So we partner with God in this task of bringing people back to him. We do this through the ministry of reconciliation, of representing him here on earth, and by protecting the gospel with our lifestyle. So let's talk and wrap it up for just a moment. Today, you may have realized that you are separated from God, and you are the one who needs to come back to God. You know, and for whatever reason, you're here, and there's stuff going on in your life that God has used to grab your attention. And God has placed people in your life to help you think a little bit more clearly, see things a little bit differently. And somewhere in your journey at this moment, you're realizing that you got away from God. Or you're realizing you were never connected to God. Yeah, you went to church, you did some things, you know, that were good, but you never surrendered your heart to him. You never really became a follower of Jesus. If that's you, and you're realizing I need to talk to someone about giving my life to Jesus, we want to talk to you, okay? We want to spend some time with you. We want to honor you. We're not going to do it in front of folks. We don't have an invitation, but we do have a welcome card, and we're asking you just simply to fill that out. If you want to talk to somebody and just say, just give us something general like, hey, I just need to talk to someone about becoming a Christian. There's even a place there, you know, how to become a Christian. You can check. We will call you ASAP. Set up a time, sit down with you, have a real conversation, talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it doesn't mean, answer any questions you have. You know, again, it's like Jesus when he was talking to Nicodemus one-on-one at night, answer Nicodemus's questions. It was like when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well, dealing with her and her issues. We want to spend time with you privately talking to you. But now, if you're saying, man, I can't wait, I need to talk to somebody today, right now, we'll hang around, we'll talk with you, okay? We are here for you. So be sure and fill out that welcome card if you can, but if not, we'll talk to you today. Now, once you fill out the welcome card, you can just place it at the Welcome Center or in the offering box, but really just take it to the Welcome Center, and we'll get a hold of you. Now, for some of you, you're already a believer, and, you know, we believe here at Genesis that you cannot lose your salvation. We believe the Bible teaches that when you become born again, you are born into the family of God, okay? And we don't believe you can become unborn again. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when I was born, you know, back in 1968, that's a whole nother century. When I was born back in 1968, you know, it wasn't like I could become unborn. Now, I could become dead, okay, but I could become unborn. And when a person gets saved, the Bible says that they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in. They're given a new nature. You know, the Bible describes them as born again. You know, there's a lot of things. They're justified, you know, by the blood of Jesus. I mean, on and on and on again. The Bible just talks about what happens, and that is not undone because you said a bad word this morning. Okay, that just doesn't work that way. When you are a child of God, you're in the family of God. But the Bible does talk about believers who get distracted. The Old Testament uses an old word called backsliding, you know, kind of like moonwalking. You know, you just kind of slide back. You know, it looks like you're going forward, but you're really going back, you know. Or you're going forward, but it's like you're really going back, whatever. But you're sliding back. You know, you've gotten distracted, and you're not really spending time with God, and you really don't care what God has to say, and you're not really worshiping God, and you're doing some things and allowing some things that has come into your life, and it's and you're not in alignment with Him. You know, the relationship is the same, meaning He's your Heavenly Father and you're His child, but the fellowship is different because you haven't talked to Him in a while. You know, spent time with Him. And He is saying, I want you to come back as well. And again, you don't have to get cleaned up. You know, He'll take care of that. and you're saying, man, I need some help here. I am a believer, and I want to talk to somebody about my own spiritual growth. If that's you as well, man, fill out that welcome card, place the Welcome Center. We want to sit down and talk with you. We want to help you through that process. We've all been there, okay? I've been there. Chris has been there. Ben's been there. Kenzie's been there. And a lot of other believers, man, we know the ups and downs of following Jesus. And it's a journey. And you need other believers in your life to help you through that. Y'all hearing what you're in my heart today? You hear, understand this message of this partnership with God and reconciliation. We're all in this thing together. Nobody's perfect. God wants us back. He loves you so much. And because he loves you so much, he's given us that love for you and for each other. And we just want to, we all just want to get back to God and just do what he wants us to do. Man, it's, you know, and Satan's going to fight us all the way. Well, that said, I want to say one more thing, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. And while I'm saying this, if the band will go ahead and come on up and join me. This month, many of you have participated in the 7 days of fasting and praying. And, we've asked you to just pick 7 days. We've recommended, 4 Wednesdays and 3 other days. And you can fast from whatever you want. Some are fasting from food. Some are fasting from activities in their life. And they've, trying to just shut down some things. But we believe God will honor that. And the fasting and praying is not to, say, God, look how great I am. But the fasting and praying is saying, God, we need your help. And there's a lot of lost folks out there, and we want to reach them. We want to be a part of connecting with them and declaring to them, come back to God. And we need your help to do that, to open the opportunities, to open the doors and all that stuff. And so you've been praying and fasting. We want to continue to do that. We're only about halfway through January. We've got another half, but don't give up. Be faithful to that. I know how everybody, sometimes, we were talking the other day. Yeah, I was fasting and praying, and then, dude, I got in an argument, and I said some things I shouldn't have said because I was starving to death. And, because of that, I just felt like I blew it, so I just went down to Hardee's, got me a Monster Burger and a crispy fries and a Coke, and, they went across the street and bought a whole large pizza. And, you know what I'm saying? I know how people, hey, you're laughing because you already did that. I know. Yeah. So, yeah, but hit restart, man. This is great. Go to the throne of grace and God, okay, I blew it. But here's the deal. I'm hitting restart. And even in those moments where you feel like you blew it within that time of praying and fasting, it didn't result in what you thought was going to result, just say, I'm just going to go to God. I'm not going to do that Monster Burger until tomorrow. But today I'm fasting and praying, that kind of thing. God's good about that. I just want to say thank you for those who are doing that and just be faithful that God will honor that for us. If you would stand with me. All right. You glad you came to church today? All right. Did you worship God today? All right. God, worship God. Did you receive from his word today? Yeah. I've only been doing this for years and I still... And are you going to do something with what you heard today? Yes. All right. All right, Chris, wrap us up.